Parable of the Good Samaritan is the quintessential Jesus parable, has in turn probably had more impact than any single story of Jesus. All you have to do is look at the network of hospitals called Good Samaritan, and you can see how much impact this story has had. So many people have taken this story to heart in relation to their own mission. So one of the contexts in which to think about this story is the current debate on healthcare and the structures of healthcare that are built into Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God. This is the extension of healthcare to even enemies, let alone those who don't have enough money. So our present healthcare system is pretty screwed up. Structured for profit rather than for the good of those who it serves. So Jesus' story here is about the extension of the gifts of the kingdom of God to everyone. The mnemonic structure of this story is relatively easy to identify. There's first of all the two episodes of the setting, each of which have the same structure. Statement by the lawyer, first case a question, the second case is answer to Jesus, and then Jesus' response to him. So in the first episode, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus questioned back, what's written in the law? What do you read? His response, you shall love the Lord your God, heart, soul, strength, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus, you've given the right answer. Do this and you'll live. The next episodes are then an expansion of that structure. The lawyer again asks him a question, who's my neighbor? And Jesus' response is this parable, which is then the next three episodes. The first is the description of the setting, the man who fell into the hands of robbers. Then the priest and the Levite, then the Samaritan. The Samaritan episode is by far the longest episode in the whole story, and that is indicative of its character in the telling also. The end of the story then is Jesus' question to him again, which of these three do you think was a neighbor? And the lawyer answers, the one who showed him mercy. So the order of the dialogue is reversed in this last episode. It's Jesus asking the question, and the lawyer responding, and then Jesus giving a last comment. So if you think of the story in that way, that will help you to remember it. It's very familiar, and so the parable is not hard to learn. In the episode of the lawyer's response, notice that the order is heart, soul, strength, and mind. And it's arranged in parallel phrases so that makes it easy to remember. Sometimes I find it helpful to identify a word that will have the first letters of a series like this. So if you think of Hasam, heart, soul, strength, and mind, and then neighbor at the end, you got it. The sounds of this story. This is a story of repartee, of dialogue, of an exchange between two men who, on the one hand, respect each other, and on the other hand, the lawyer is testing Jesus. The spirit of this test is not necessarily one of conflict. It isn't adversarial in the sense of they're being hostile to each other. It may be more like a doctoral exam, you know, in which Jesus is being tested by the lawyer in relation to his knowledge and his understanding of things. And Jesus' voice in response is not condescending or even critical, but rather engaging. Now, the structure of this story in its sound is that it has two major crescendos. The first one is the response of the lawyer. It's not a major crescendo, but it has that energy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, "You've given the right answer. Do this and you will live." So you can hear the structure of that. Now, the second major crescendo is the description of the Samaritan. And it begins quietly. A Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. When he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him, and the next day took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him. When I come back, I'll repay you whatever more you spend." So it has that, you know, you may not do it that way, but that's the spirit of this. The extension of and the expression of the extraordinary extent to which the Samaritan went. And it's a crescendo of the extent of his care for the man. The structure of this story is, in terms of its sound, is like the structure of the sermon that Wyatt T. Walker described, I remember once in a great lecture that he gave on preaching. He said, a sermon is like a plane that takes off and it keeps going higher and higher and higher, and then it gets up to its peak and then it comes back down and lands. So this parable has that structure. It builds up to the peak of the Samaritan saying, "When I come back, I'll repay you whatever more you spend," and then it comes back down to rest. With Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." So if you think of the structure of the sound of the story in that way, it'll work for you. And I think that's the way Jesus told it. Now, what's going on in this story? The lawyer's question is about inheriting eternal life. And Jesus' response is to ask him to answer his own question. You know, what's written in the law? What do you read there? And interestingly, the lawyer's question is exactly what Jesus teaches in other places in the tradition. This combination of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, from the Shema, and of your neighbor as yourself, is Jesus' distinctive teaching. And in Mark, it's Jesus who says to the lawyer, "You shall love the Lord your God." Here, it is the lawyer in Luke who gives this good answer. And it's Jesus' answer. So this is really a good answer. It's as if he had already heard Jesus talking and responded with the same distinctive description of the most important parts of the law. And so Jesus' answer here is to him is highly affirmative. You've given the right answer. Do this and you will live. You will have eternal life. You will live forever. Now, the law that Jesus is referring to here is not the codification of law books. It's rather the Torah. It is the whole story of the Exodus, the wandering in the wilderness, and all of the commands that are built into that experience in the 5 books of the Torah, including Deuteronomy. The parable. What would the listeners have understood? Well, first of all, they knew that the Jericho Road was a dangerous road. It was a legend in this age, in the first century, as being one of the most dangerous places in the world, and that was because of its character. It was a road where if you were going up from Jerusalem to from Jericho to Jerusalem, you'd go up, you know, some 3,000-4,000 feet, and there's nothing there on the road. It's all wilderness and caves where people could hide out. There was no protection. There was no police forces in those days. And so there were bands of robbers who lived in those caves, and whoever came down the road was fair game. So everyone knew that. Now the expectation of the priest and the Levite is that as Jews who see a fellow Jew who has been injured, that they would help him. The law for priests and Levites was very strict in regard to their contracting uncleanness by touching a corpse. So the probable reason why the priest and the Levite would have gone back, would have gone by on the other side, which would have been understood by Jesus' listeners, is not necessarily that they were indifferent or didn't care about the man. It was rather that they were observing the law. And the only person who they could contact who was a corpse was a member of their own family without contracting uncleanness. And if they contracted uncleanness from a corpse, they would be disqualified from serving in the temple as they were doing, because they were coming up the road, going up to Jerusalem to serve in the temple, would be, again, the assumption of the story. The Samaritan, then, was, from the point of view of Judeans, was an apostate. He was a renegade, an enemy of the first order. The Samaritans were descendants of the residents of the northern kingdom that was conquered by the Assyrians, and the Assyrians in the 8th century BC, some 800 years before Jesus, 722 specifically, and Assyrian policy was to intermarry. And so the Assyrians had sent young men and women, and they had intermarried with people in the northern kingdom. And so they were regarded also as half-breeds, as ones who were defiled by their blood and were no longer Jews. And there was a long history of conflict with the Samaritans. Not long before Jesus' day, a group of young Samaritans broke into the temple and spread bones all over the temple on the day before the celebration of Passover and unleavened bread. They had to cancel the festival for that year, and that action of defiling the temple was held as an indictment of Samaritans and as a justification for acts of retribution against Samaritans by Judeans. And Samaritans continued to carry out acts of violence against Judeans who were traveling through Samaria. The relationship is not unlike the current relationship of Jews and Palestinians, who also live, incidentally, on the same, much of the same land as the Samaritans did in the middle of Israel. So this Samaritan, for Jesus' listeners, was an enemy of the first order, a hated one, who did not observe the law, who was regarded as not being righteous. So this Samaritan, then, when he comes, treats him with extraordinary kindness. You know, for him to patch him up and even to take him to an inn, that was good. But to take out 2 denarii and give them to the innkeeper and then promise to repay whatever more he would spend, this is, you know, beyond all expectations of kindness to someone who was beaten and robbed. So he is an extraordinary neighbor to him. Now, on the one hand, this is a story about the kingdom of God. It is a story of the extraordinary grace of the kingdom of God. It is also an example of the extension of care to an enemy. And so implicit in this story is not only the goodness of caring for those who have been hurt, but is also the breaking of the cycle of violence and of retribution, of revenge that happens in relationships between people who are in conflict with each other. And at some point, that cycle of retribution, of vengeance, the only way to peace is if that cycle is broken. The Samaritan is also a model of the creation of peace and of the actions of breaking the cycle of retribution and violence that the kingdom of God is about. So in this case, it is in relation to the description of a neighbor. A neighbor is one then who cares for those who live nearby. Jesus' question to the man, to the lawyer at the end is, now, which of these three do you think was neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers. And his response is, I think, straight, not disgruntled, or that somehow he was put down or shown up. It's rather the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus' final response is then not a put down, but rather, go and do likewise, and you will inherit eternal life. This is the answer to your question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Go and care for your neighbor. Care for your enemies, and you will inherit eternal life. So go and do likewise, and you will inherit eternal life. So Jesus' response to this lawyer, who was testing him, becomes then also a test for the lawyer. And it's a fair test, and it's an opportunity for everyone who identifies with the lawyer and with Jesus to think about what is it that constitutes the righteousness that will lead to eternal life, to your spirit living forever. This is a spirit of extraordinary grace and kindness toward those who are our enemies. That's the way to the kingdom of God. Have fun telling the story. It's one of Jesus' great stories.